11 verses, I knew the time will be about half today. So I've just took a very small portion today. And I feel it's a message will, I pray, challenge you for the new year. So Father, I ask in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, that you will encourage us. You will speak to us. Lord, you will pinpoint your finger at our lives, oh God. And Father, there will be a challenge of faith that will come, Lord God, as we stand at the threshold of New Year. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Amen. So, Jesus is calling his first disciples at this passage, and we're going to read. Thank you. All right. Are you ready? Are you there? It's only 11 verses. We can read together. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. So also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they had brought their boats to land, and they forsook all and followed him. Amen. So we are now looking at Jesus, having started his ministry in Galilee. He's still in Galilee, and he is in the region, well, it says Lake of Gennesaret. So Luke is both a doctor and Gentile writer. This Lake of Gennesaret is the same thing as Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee is the Old Testament designation, but he uses Gentile name. And in fact, he's a doctor, so he is a bit more precise in description. Because technically speaking, Galilee is not a sea, it's a lake. And we also know Luke is very widely traveled, so he knows the region very well. So he calls it Lake of Gennesaret. This is about 20 kilometers wide, 10 kilometers, or 10 kilometers wide, 20 kilometers in length, and about 160 meters below the sea level. So he calls it for what it is. And Jesus is ministering in this Galilee region, and as the Holy Spirit began to come upon him, sick were being healed, people were being supernaturally touched by the Spirit of God and the power of God, that Jesus fulfilling that Isaiah prophecy, the Spirit of God had come upon him. He began to liberate people all over the place. People are now pressing into Jesus. There is a great multitude following Jesus wherever he went. So Jesus comes to this sea area. Can you look at the picture? That would have been like that. People are coming and pressing in. So Jesus found two boats in that lake, and he sat on one of them to teach. Sitting down is the position to teach. I think it's a good idea for preachers who are long-winded. Anyway, the boat that Jesus chose was the boat that belonged to Peter. So he said, and now by this time, Peter is an avid supporter of Jesus' ministry. Why? Because Jesus healed his mother-in-law, which is really good for marriage. So Peter welcomes him, and Jesus puts out the boat just a little bit away from the shoreline so the people are listening from him, Jesus teaching the word of God. And this is really good, you know, for two reasons. Because people cannot press into Jesus to get a touch, healing touch. As soon as people begin to touch Jesus for healing, it's going to turn into healing service again. Again, people want to keep Jesus for healing. But Jesus, in his prayer, Father said, you need to declare the kingdom of God. So Jesus says, for this purpose, I have come. So healing is part of the ministry of Jesus, but Jesus must declare the kingdom. So he is moving from place to place to do this. So in this seashore, he finds fishermen have just checked out now. They've returned from long night of work, and they caught nothing. It was a disaster fishing trip. And they have now checked out. They went home, and they're washing the nets. Probably nets are hung to dry, and Jesus is teaching from the boat so that it doesn't turn into mania, people pressing in for healing again. Secondly, this is great acoustic. Speaking just above the water is great so that multitude can hear Jesus, because the sound wave reflects off the surface of the water. Like when you don't have a carpet, voice bounces. So more people can hear Jesus teaching. So Jesus' voice reaches more people now. You see this boat? Incidentally, they found a boat, a typical fisherman's boat in that region, and they dated it. It's about 2,000 years old boat. So they built a museum in the Sea of Tiberias, right? So you can go there and have a look at that fish, and it's like, could this be Simon Peter's boat? Could that be the boat that Jesus was teaching from? That's the same one. Who knows? There must have been a lot of boats, but they built a whole museum. But you can just really think about that. Valerie, have you been to a boat museum? No, you've been. Where have you been? None of these places. Anyway, so then the question is, what did Jesus teach? Anybody? It doesn't say what he taught, but I believe it's almost certain Jesus taught on the kingdom of God. Because just a few previous verses, Jesus said, people are pressing in. Jesus, they want Jesus for healing ministry. But Jesus said, Father has sent me to preach the kingdom of God. So I must go to other cities to preach the kingdom. So for me, it is almost certain, there is no doubt, that Jesus taught on the kingdom of God. And it is also the gospel. It is the good news. And what is then the kingdom of God? It's difficult for us to understand the kingdom, because we don't live in the kingdom. We live in democracy. In the kingdom, there is no election. In the kingdom, there is no running for the top job. King rules, and the subjects obey. And good kings live for his subjects, for the people. But there's been more bad king than good king. Bad king live for themselves. And since World War I, there's been 24 of monarchs that has disappeared from the face of the earth, and we have no idea what it's like to live in the kingdom. And Jesus is teaching the kingdom of God. You are living in the kingdom. There are two aspects of the kingdom. Every time you pray the Lord's Prayer, are you still praying Lord's Prayer? Time to time? Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So kingdom of God is coming when Jesus comes back. Jesus Christ will be the rightful monarch. He will rule and reign over all the countries and the people of the earth. And there we will also have the resurrection body. And there will be no injustice, nothing. King will provide everything we need. And it will be utopia. Yeah. In fact, the word utopia comes from no place. Ooh, topos. You know, there is no such place like that. But when Jesus comes back, there will be no sickness, no diseases, because he will be king. Every part of our life will be impacted by his kingdom. That's the good news. That's what makes it good news for us to prepare our hearts to receive him as the king, because Jesus Christ is coming back as the king. And those people who have been faithful to him, Jesus will promote them to rule and reign with him forever and ever. So that's a great good news of the kingdom. Now, the other aspect of the kingdom is that Jesus said, kingdom is in you, among you. Kingdom is right now. Wherever Jesus was, there was no sickness. Wherever Jesus was, there's a will of God being done. Kingdom of God is inside of us, and also it is now to the extent we obey him. So it is this respect of the kingdom that requires what? Discipleship. More we obey the words of Jesus, every part of your life, Monday to Friday to Saturday, Sunday, your home life, your work life comes under the rule of Jesus Christ through his word and through the power of the Holy Spirit, the will of God is being done to you. Demons are cast out. God is pleased. His kingdom is being extended. That's why Great Commission says, make disciples of all nations, not just believers who get saved and stay there. That's why the preaching of the gospel is the preaching of the kingdom of God. How do we serve? And this life, Monday to Friday to Saturday, Sunday, every day, every aspect of my life, I submit to God and have him rule over me. Have the kingdom of God rule over me. That means the kingdom of darkness, kingdom of Satan, will have to get kicked out of our life. So in this sense, kingdom of God is also now. As Jesus is preaching, this kingdom is coming. But Jesus is king, and in Jesus' kingdom, Jesus provides everything that we need to have our life under the rule of authority of the kingdom of God. Amen. So that's the kingdom Jesus is preaching. And then suddenly Jesus stops speaking. Jesus is a greater teacher, greatest teacher. But as all good teaching, it ends sometime. Praise God. Hallelujah. It doesn't go on forever. Everybody's glued to every word Jesus is speaking. It's impacting them. It's shifting their paradigm. But Jesus stops. And now he challenges Simon Peter. Let's go out a little deeper. And let's cast out the net again. How many suspect Jesus has been speaking to you in 2020, it's a new year. I want you to come with me to a deeper water and cast the net. And it may be the same area that we have not been very fruitful in the past. But at the words of Jesus, the great miracle took place, right? How many suspect that? Jesus, are you hearing Jesus speaking? Let's go a little deeper. What is little deeper? Little deeper, well, the shallow water is when you are hearing the teachings. deeper water as you will always, when you have time of hearing the words of God, at some point Jesus will stop and say, let's practice what you heard. I taught you about the kingdom. Let's go out. Let's experience kingdom a little bit. Right now. And Jesus challenges Peter. So the deeper water is now practicing walking in the things that God has spoken to you. So what does Peter say? Master, I've told. He said actually the word there, master, is basically a sir, anyone in authority. Sir, we've toiled all night, caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, we'll do it again. So Peter's faith was nevertheless faith. Nevertheless. How many have nevertheless faith here? Be honest. You're not jumping. Yeah, let's do it. No, nevertheless, I believe you're saying this, so I will obey. Because, look, responding to Jesus' challenge always requires faith. Going into deeper water always requires faith. Peter could have said, hey, you are a great teacher, you're a great healer, but you're not a fisher? You don't know nothing about fishing business. I am the expert in this area. And fishing is best at night when it's quiet. And they worked all night, and in the daytime, you know, they retired. In fact, they've cleaned up their net. It's very inconvenient. I am the expert. I know the business. I know catching business. And you're saying, do it again, all the same thing. Do it again, the same thing. And you say, but he said, nevertheless. Now, that changed his life. Nevertheless. If you have not borne great fruit in one area, what makes difference is the words of Jesus. And faith, obedience by faith. Obedience brings results. Amen? So if you toiled all night and you have not been fruitful, take heart. Because Master is with us. Amen? Jesus is not only expert in teaching and healing, he's expert in everything. Hallelujah. He's expert in fishing. He's expert in your business. He's expert in human relationship. He's expert in everything that we do. Hallelujah. Amen. So, Peter's faith had to overcome these obstacles. It's inconvenient. And it's very hard to believe, but he will do it because he somehow believed, even though it is not an area where it looks like Jesus' expertise, this man's word is not to be dismissed, no matter what. He came to see something more. He began to have faith in the words of Jesus. How did he have this faith, nevertheless faith, to get over the hump of doubt and inconvenience and all this? How did he get that faith to have nevertheless obedience? How? Anybody? How did Peter get that? Because many of us, or some of us, or hopefully none of us, but sometimes it is possible for us to say no, right? Jesus can give us a challenge, but hey, inconvenient, I know what it is, and we don't do it. We don't follow through. How? I'll give you my understanding is, where did he get that faith? He got that faith because he was connecting and listening intently at every word of Jesus when Jesus was teaching on the shore a moment ago out of his boat. If you didn't connect to what Jesus was teaching, Jesus is talking about kingdom of God, possibilities of the kingdom of God, God's rule, God's resources. God is king. He rules, controls the universe. He directs your pathways. If you are not hearing these things, you say, you know what, fishing is my expertise. And what does Jesus know? You just dismiss Jesus. If you did not believe in the teaching, if you were there, of Jesus on the kingdom of God in that boat half an hour ago, if you were doing other things, mending the nets, going and get an ice cream or swim, anything, you fall asleep, Jesus said, go out and do this impossible thing, you will just dismiss it. You will not even hear it. Ah! We checked out. But he heard, and faith was born. He believed what Jesus was teaching. And then now Jesus is saying, let's do something. Unlikely, he could activate their faith. Yes, I believe. Let's do it. So it's so important. How does faith come? By hearing. Hearing the word of Christ. How are you going to know the difference between the teachings of Jesus and direct commands of Jesus? How? Because you are paying a meticulous interest and attention to the teachings of Jesus, so you can distinguish and hear the command of Jesus. People who are not listening intently to the logos, teachings of Jesus, will not hear rhema, command of Jesus to take an action at a critical point and a critical moment. So it is, I tell you, you know, it is so important. You want to walk in the supernatural life of the kingdom of God, you and I have to be the great listener, hearer and listener. We have to ponder every word. And when you take the word of God, teachings of God seriously, logos of God seriously, and you're a student of it, devouring it, and every word that is preached, you don't dismiss it, but you hear it with your heart intact, faith engaged, guess what? You're going to hear the rhema word, command of Jesus when he comes out from the teaching, and you're not going to go haywire, because so many people are not grounded in the teachings of the word and only trying to hear the rhema, trying to do this, trying to get the best opportunity all the time. But without the teaching, we're going to throw the net in the wrong place at the wrong time. Amen? So I pray and I bless you in Jesus' name that we'll be the great listener of the word of God, and that you will hear the command of Jesus, the logos turning into rhema. So the result of Peter's obedience was abnormal abundance of the catch. That is a supernatural blessing of God. And so much so that, number one, Peter had to call other fishermen to, okay, now activate the other boat. Two of them went out, came back empty. One nevertheless worked. Now the catch is so big, you have to activate everything that you've got. Come out. And net was breaking. So you signaled, you know, come on, come on. Jesus said, throw out your nets. And Peter said, okay, I'll throw out a net. He did, and the net is breaking. So get the boat, get all the nets. Come on, come on. They're helping and they're sharing the fish, and now boat is sinking. Because of the catch. Oh my goodness. Do you laugh or do you cry? It's a blessing so big that he couldn't take it. Net began to break. Boat began to sink. So this is the greatest catch of his life. Do you? I don't know whether you jump in joy or cry with tears. But that is happening right there in their midst. And all the fishermen's reaction, what would you be? If you are one of those fishermen, you have never seen a net. And then it's so big that the two boats were full out of one net and the net's breaking and boats are sinking. Their eyes are like this. Astonishment is a one word. Everybody's astonished at what? The catch. It's a miracle. It's an absurd miracle. But one fisherman had a different response from everybody else. His response was different. He said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinner, O Lord." He fell at Jesus' knees. Very different response. Why? He saw the catch. He saw this abnormal blessing. Everybody's laughing, crying, worried, or basically astonished. Their eyes were on the catch. What a blessing. It's the greatest payday. Greatest payday. You hit the jackpot. You don't have to work for 6 months, maybe. But Peter's eyes were on the giver of the blessing. And Peter realized this is a holy one. Holy one of Israel. Holy one of God. Remember, just before, demons are crying out, and what are they saying? "I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." And Jesus said, "Be quiet." And Peter, through the revelation from the Holy Spirit, is getting a picture of Jesus. You know, this is a classic picture, illustration of the goodness of God leading us to repentance. God's goodness. He says, "I'm a sinner. Depart from me. You are the Holy One." And then his address to Jesus changes. Before he was a sir. Sir? To the Lord, which is consistently addressed to God. The Lord, Kyrios, the King, the Master, the King of the kingdom. You are the King. You are the Lord of your kingdom. You do control the universe, the fish, every fish in the sea. You do control. And he has revelation of Jesus, the Holy One. And it's the goodness of God leading to repentance. What's the other one that leads to repentance? The godly sorrow leads us to repentance. Some people are saying only the goodness leads to repentance. No, both. Godly sorrow and the goodness leads to repentance. Guess what? Peter, on this day, had both. He saw the goodness of God. Amazing blessing that he doesn't deserve. His mother-in-law was healed. And probably the next day, he's got the biggest catch of his life. Just because he said, "Nevertheless, and this is a holy one, and I'm a sinner." And there was a pain. "Depart from me." See, the godly sorrow produced repentance. And the goodness of God produced repentance. He experienced both on the same day. Hallelujah. Is the godly sorrow leading you to repentance? But don't stop there. Have you been hit by the goodness of God and was led to repentance in the past? I think most people want to say yes, but kind of, you know, that means I'm bad. I better not say, you know. Wonderful, isn't it? It's a conversion. It changed his life. Because why? On that day, three men who were very close friends and business partners as well. There's two different words. He signaled the guys in the same work to come, but he talks about these three guys, James, John and Peter, as a close friend and a fishing ministry partner, business partner. And these three men, based on this revelation of Jesus, has made a decision together. And you know what they did? They forsook the greatest catch they've ever experienced, and they followed Jesus. What is the difference between a believer who is heading to heaven and a disciple who is advancing the kingdom? One has his eyes on the blessing they can receive only. The other one doesn't take his eyes off the giver of the blessing. You follow the giver of the blessing. That's a disciple. Are you a disciple? Because I want to ask you this question. You want to go into deeper water, you need to be a disciple. You want to live in the kingdom of God now, you got to be a disciple. You believe in the kingdom of God that is coming, and you're saved by faith, you're a believer. But the Great Commission was given by Jesus not to just make believers, to make disciples, to live under God's kingdom now. Bring every part of your life under God's rule. Means we have to forgive some people. Means you can't be lazy. You know, it struck me actually when I was looking at it. You know, when you look at Jesus calling 12 disciples, they were all 12 men, ordinary blue-collar men, most of them at work. None of them were idling. They were engaged with something, but Jesus turned them, and Jesus said this, "Peter, you follow me. I'm going to make you a fisher of men." Peter says, "Yeah, I'm going. Are you coming?" They say, "Yeah, we're all going. By the way, what's the fisher of men?" "I have no clue." What is fisher of men? Hey, they know how to fish, catch fish and sell it, got it, cut it, and all this, make sashimi out of it. They probably didn't eat that sashimi being Jews. They cooked and ate, but what is the fisher of man? You got no idea except that, hey, sounds good. God has something. I'm going to find out. When you follow Jesus, when God gives you call, which God gives to every single one, don't put God's calling in a box. It may not fit into a box. Because there had been no one's gone ahead saying, "I'm a fisher of man now. PTY, LTD. There is no such thing. What does that mean? It's catching men for life. Not to eat, not to kill, but it's going to give life. They were living for the food today, but they will live for the food eternal. They will give life. Their ministry, their business will give life. And in the gospel, you will see two pictures where these men, Peter, was involved in fishing. The one in the beginning of ministry and towards the end, twice. And there were both times it was a great catch. This one was a prophetic picture of Peter's life, because in Book of Acts you will find Peter throwing out his net to catch men twice in his sermons. Once 3,000 people got saved. The second sermon, 5,000 people came into the kingdom. Prophetic picture of catching men for God. You know, little did they know. That little decision they made, three of them, three men made a pact. "Hey, we're going together. We're going to see through. We're going to follow this man. We're going to live in the kingdom that he's talking about." You know, those three became three of the 12 apostles and three of the core of the 12 apostles. That day, that decision changed the history of mankind. Three closest to Jesus. What decision are you making? We're going to follow the Lord into New Year. I suspect there is the Lord speaking to a number of us. Let's go deeper. 2020. Where you have failed in the past, I want to bring in abundance. Where you had a wrong priority and was unfruitful now, let's see. There will be a miracle. There will be change. But how do we prepare for that? I want to say at least two things. Are you paying attention to the logos, teachings of Jesus? very closely. Because faith comes by hearing. The second one is, are you a disciple? When the blessing comes, will you keep your eye on the giver? You're going to follow him. Are you a disciple? As we stand at the threshold of New Year, I want you to ask yourself this question. If you want to go deeper with Jesus, are you a disciple or are you a casual believer? Because that's a decision that Jesus cannot make for us. It's a decision we have to make it for ourselves. Amen. I think it's at 12 o'clock. As all good teachings come to an end. But I pray this is where the teaching ends. Your walking begin. Why don't we stand? In fact, why don't we get a couple of songs? Just a song. Have your way. Maybe we're going to ask the Lord. Just spend a little bit of time. And, you know, next New Year, I want to talk about two miracles. I want to actually be very specific about miracles that you may need in your life next Sunday out of how Jesus healed the two. And some of us are missing the link. So I want to talk about that. But right now, we're going to sing, you know, that Have Your Way. Is that right? And I sing Have Your Way. And I want us to just open our hearts and, Lord, what are the areas? Am I a disciple? I want you to be able to say yes at the end of the song. Every single one of us, I am a follower. I'm going to keep my eyes on the giver. I want to live under the kingdom of God, because in the kingdom there is no lack. No lack of wisdom. There is a healing of every relationship. There is a healing. There is a abundance, there's a blessing, there's a focus, there's a purpose, there is joy. Yes, there is a battle, but there is victory. Hallelujah. Amen. And you can just, Lord, do you want me to launch out? What are the areas? Do you believe that God will make you fisher of men? Hallelujah. Do you want to be a fisher of men? I want to see your hands, yeah? Fishing business, GI fishing, PTY, LTD, no? Kingdom business. And I, you know, see, if you're a disciple, you're on the way to fulfill the call of God. Disciples were on their way to apostleship. They had no idea what it looked like. Disciples complete the journey. Whatever it is, prophetic, apostolic, whatever you want to put the name on. But we are all disciples, amen? Have your way, we're going to sing.
Our hearts and heart. Have your way, Lord.
I'm a disciple, if you mean it. I'm a disciple. I want to live under the kingdom of God now. Hallelujah. Jesus is my king. Jesus rules over every area of my life. Jesus' law is my kingdom law. Jesus is the lawgiver. He's a savior, he's a judge, and he's the king. Hallelujah. I'm going to walk with him. I follow him to deeper, and we're going to launch. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the great blessing that's going to come out of launching of faith in different areas of our lives. In the name of Jesus, we give you thanks ahead of time. As we begin to pull in your blessing. And the greatest blessing, Lord God, is to catch men and women for your kingdom. Lord, we pray, speak through me, O God. Let me live under your kingdom. Let me extend your kingdom to others in the name of Jesus. Let Jesus be blessed, O God. And let my eyes be on the giver of the blessing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I pray that every limitation of our mind, I pray that you will break every shackle in the name of Jesus, that we will begin to dream and see your possibility and go with you. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. May the Lord fill you with blessing and then speak to you as you wait on the Lord. The Lord make it specific for you. Hallelujah. The areas of your challenge in Jesus' name. Next week, I do want to talk about Jesus' healing and, you know, what it means to follow him. And I pray it'll be a message that will be significant for you. It'll address some things in our lives, you know, in the beginning of the year. Amen. Okay. If you want prayers, you can come up. Otherwise, you know, tea and coffee at the back. The Lord bless you, and I'll see you in the new year or in Watch Night service.